Take your Bibles this evening, turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter, Revelation chapter 7. You'll hear preachers say foolish things such as, the time of great revival is past. And Revelation chapter 7 is a reminder that the greatest revival of all time is yet to come. 144,000 Jewish people, men, will be witnesses around the world. That's in addition to the two witnesses that will be murdered in the city of Jerusalem. Who will be saved? People will be saved, just not you. If you've heard a salvation presentation, you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, and someone has reached out to you, whether it be a personal soul winner at your door, or a church service, or a revival service, or some sermon you heard on the web. If you've heard a gospel message, you will not be saved during tribulation period. You will not. But millions will be saved. Millions will. How many? As the sand of the sea. And we'll read that passage in just a second. Revival. Even if it means, and I say this because, and this is a repeat of last week, a review, because there are those that say the reason why people are not getting saved today is because they're afraid they're going to endure persecution. And I just go, have you read Revelation chapter 7? Because these people are going to trust Christ knowing, because millions of people are going to die for their faith. It wouldn't surprise me if they got you on the way on the waters of baptism and grabbed you and took you and beheaded you. So to use that as an excuse today as to why we are not going to tell people about Christ in light of Revelation 7 shows the weakness of our faith and following of Jesus Christ. Because this, Revelation 7, is going to be the most intense persecution that has ever befallen the human race. And people are going to get saved as the sand of the sea. Revival can come even if those trusting Christ know that it is going to cause them persecution and death. Revelation 7. Number next. Review from last week. You can have revival, and again, preachers say this, or people say this, we can't have revival today because government is hostile. Not as hostile as this guy. The Antichrist is going to be the most hostile world government that has ever existed in the history of mankind, and people are going to get saved. Those are crazy reasons not to tell people about Christ. Just tell people about Christ. Who are we supposed to witness to? Well, Brother Oldenburg and I were talking about at the beginning of the service. Because there are preachers, and I mentioned this last week, that won't witness to somebody who's been, I don't know, cloned or had some other method of coming into this world beside a man and a woman coming together, something crazy. And so they don't believe they have a soul. And so they don't witness to them. And can you imagine, Brother Oldenburg and I were talking about this just before the service. From Lighthouse Baptist Church, I have some good news about God's salvation. But first of all, I have to ask you 7 questions about how you came into being. You've got to be kidding me. Is that what we're reduced to? And I think there's a reason in Mark, Mrs. Bishop and I talked about this last night, that we are to take the gospel to every, not to every person, not to every human, but to every creature. And if that does not define the human race today, I don't know what does. Chapter 7 reveals that there are 2 distinct groups. Now, we had a guy in today. He was working on the copy machine. You should expect, I mentioned this in a teacher's meeting, when you come to a Baptist church to work on the copy machine, the preacher's going to witness you. I mean, it's a Baptist church, right? So we're over the copy machine, he's doing his work, and I'm preaching. And he looks at me, and he says, so what are you doing on Wednesday night? Well, we're doing Revelation, chapter 7. Let me tell you about it. And so I did. And he said, 144,000, that's like Jewish people, right? Now, if the copy machine guy can figure that out, then the replacement theologians of today ought to be ashamed. ought to be ashamed. The church is not replacing Israel. The 144,000 are not Gentile believers. They are Jewish men who have trusted Christ. The second distinct group is what we're going to look at this evening. We're in chapter 7. I draw your attention to verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. I just tell you, that's more than 10. Which no man could number. Now, I know for some of you, that might be 100, because that's all you can count to. Okay. Just checking to see if you're still awake. See if I put you to sleep already. That's a lot of people in the millions, without a doubt. A great multitude which no man could number. And notice where they're from. Not necessarily from America, although there will be some. Because why? It's of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues. Where are they? They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And crowd with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne. Typically, we don't look, and Brother Monday brought this to my attention last week, because this is in chapter 6 as well. I mentioned this last week, that there are those that believe that when you die, that your body and soul go in the grave, and that you don't go to heaven. They don't believe, absent from the body, present with the Lord. They do not believe that you go to be with the Lord until the rapture. So this is after the rapture. These people are on earth. They're going through the tribulation. They trusted Christ as their Savior. Their bodies are... Listen, you think about millions of people beheaded for the cause of Christ. How do you bury that many people? Well, I don't know. I guess you get a bulldozer, make a big trench in the ground, and toss the bodies in. Is that not what they did in World War II? So what happens to their bodies? They're in the ground. But where are they? They're in heaven, right here. Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 7. Again, they're typically not passages that we think absent from the body, present with the Lord. But these guys are absent from the body. Their head is probably absent from their bodies. But they are absolutely present with the Lord. Clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, crying, they got a voice, with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? You let me stick a little sarcasm in here. Because I was always taught that your body and your soul went in the grave. Who are these people? Well, I'll tell you who they are. These are they which came out of great tribulation. These are not the pre-tribulation saints that were raptured. They are not. These are people that were saved after the rapture. They have been saved during tribulation. They have been saved in this revival, even though they know they were going to die for their faith. And they are, again, their bodies are here on earth, but they are very much present and in heaven. Who are they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Where are they? They are not in the ground on earth. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Again, great scripture passages for absent from the body, present with the Lord. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto everlasting fountains of waters. and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. A lot of sorrow today, but God is going to wipe away those tears. Is a great multitude in Revelation chapter 7 Jew or Gentile? Yes. Yes. There will be Jews, there will be Gentiles that trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Again, when I'm asked this question about this passage of Scripture, I always say, just not you. Just not you. Why? Because I am standing in front of them to give them a gospel witness. And before they get away from me, they are going to get a gospel witness. And I'm going to tell them, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He offers the gift of God, which is eternal life. And it is through Jesus Christ, not through baptism, not through the church. And I'm going to go through that. And I'm going to present Jesus Christ to them. And then I'll tell them that they will not be one of the people that are saved during the tribulation period because they have received a gospel witness. And that's Thessalonians. Jew and Gentile, all nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues. Distinct difference, distinct contrast to the 144,000, because there are those that will say the great multitude are the 144,000. They are two distinctly different groups, martyred for their faith, convinced during the tribulation, when intense persecution is falling, that their eternity hangs in the balance. Why? Because that is the same thing that people need to know today. Your eternity, your eternal destiny hangs in the balance with what you do with the information that I'm about to give to you or to share with you. These people recognize that their eternity hangs in the balance. Their death is almost guaranteed. And they trust Christ. Really quite amazing. They deem it an acceptable price to be paid. How many people do you witness to today that say, oh, you know, I might have to give up drinking with my friends? They deem it an acceptable price. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. Pretty widely known to us, knowing you know anything about the book of Revelation, you're familiar with this. But it will be absolutely widely known and recognized fact during those 7 years. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. They will be killed. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. People say, Pastor, you keep talking about beheading in chapter 7. Why do you do that? Now, last year, we memorized Revelation chapter 20, probably one of the best years we've ever had for participation in Scripture memory. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were what? I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Are these pre-tribulation people that are being spoken of here? No, I don't believe so. Why? Read the next. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You think about that for a minute. Beheaded. What are they going to do? I don't know. Get the guy with the big sword, put your neck on him. I doubt it. Because why? Because probably millions, are going to lose their head. And they need to be efficient. So put you in, lock you down, blade falls, next, hose it down. Beheading. It is, say, preacher, how do you want to die? Old age? Actually, I want to go to sleep at night and close my eyes and wake up in heaven. I want to be beheaded. Have you ever studied beheading? 1905. The French were guillotining people. Medical doctor had pushed to have a more humane way of killing people. So the guillotine was invented. So he wanted to document Dr. Bagriel. Where's Zachary? He's in the other. I should have got Zachary to do this. Barreau. Now, let's see, French. So you can't pronounce it and you can't spell it. But this medical doctor, he's there as they, in 1905, and he is there for the sole purpose of documenting what happens to a person when their head is removed from their body. Let's say, preacher, they die. Sure they do. Yeah. And so he was there, and he testified that when the blade came down, he didn't have to pick up the head or move it. The head was gone. And the eyes fluttered inconsistently, and then they closed after several seconds. After those seconds were up, he called the man's name. Laguille! Laguille! And the head, the eyes opened. And he said, he was there, and he said, the pupils looked at me. They made eye contact for several seconds. And then the eyelids slowly closed again. Said, I waited several seconds. And I shouted out again, Laguille! And the eyes opened again. And the pupils focused on me. And the eyes closed again. I waited several seconds, and a third time I called out, Laguille! And the eyes did not open. 25 to 30 seconds after the head was removed, before the body, the soul, I don't think your soul's down in here in your heart. Where's your all except Jesus into your heart, right? We point down here. Up here, maybe? I don't know. Say, so what do you say? I just say, that's horrific. Mrs. Bishop is not in the room. Last night she said, so what are you going to share with the people tonight? I said, this is horrific. They're going to be beheaded, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And this is going to be the method. And you're telling me that you don't want to come to Christ today because you want to have your fun first? But here, after the rapture comes and the people are taken home to heaven and the Antichrist sets up his reign and millions of people are being beheaded, that you're going to come to Christ when this is what it means? You, sir, are delusional. And Thessalonians says that they will believe a strong delusion. I believe a lie. Why? Because they love not the truth of a gospel that they could be saved. Is the great multitude Jew or Gentile? Yes, Jew and Gentile. Will the Jews or Gentiles worship the Lamb? Yes, yes. We mentioned it, but let's go. We've got time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, Revelation chapter 7 is a great witnessing tool. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as well, because you're going to run into people that say, I'm going to wait until the Antichrist is removing heads before I come to Christ. Listen, beheading is not the way I want to go. We're in chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send. Again, shall is a legal term. You've been here any length of time, you know that's a crucial word in the legal specter. Shall. God shall send them strong delusion that they might what? Believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what it says. You say, preacher, why beheading? Because it's horrific. And it's meant to send a message. I am the Antichrist, and you will not mess with me. It's meant to send a message to the world. Who are those arrayed? Verse 13. Whence came they? So we have three groups. We have the 144,000. We have the great multitude. And now we have the 24,000. Tribulation saints martyred that refused to bow. It's not the first time that man thought up something totally horrific to put fear in the hearts of men who refused to worship them as God. That would be Daniel chapter 3, verse 18. And the young men said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, King, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. The God whom we serve, he is able to deliver it to us. But verse 18 of Daniel chapter 3 says, be it known, but if not, if God does not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. No matter what it costs us, what were they? In the face of great and horrendous thought of being thrown into the fire. Listen. I want to go by beheading, and I do not want to go and burn up either. So police guys and fire guys, we always have this conversation. The fire guys say, you police guys are crazy. There's a guy in the bank with a gun or in the school, and you guys go after him. You guys are nuts. And the police guys would look at the fire guys and say, not as nuts as you are. Because there's a building on fire and you guys go in. We're not. Listen, I wouldn't want to. There's no desire in me to be a fire guy. Unless it's from 100 yards away with a hose spraying water that way. But don't send me in the building. I don't want to go. Say, preacher, I'm dying. I need somebody to rescue me. Good luck. Dial 911. It's not going to be me. I'll pray for you. Another way I wouldn't want to go. Listen, why? Because it's horrific. Which is why when I cook, I get a bowl, box of cereal, and cold milk. Thought of getting burned. It's just unreal to me. But they did. And they followed the Lord, even though it meant. What was he doing? What was the king doing? Don't mess with me. What is the Antichrist doing in Revelation 7? Don't mess with me. Don't mess. And the world gets a message. There are a lot of people who respond to the salvation message, whether furnace or guillotine. Does not matter. Who are they? John did not know, but it was revealed to him. They came out of great tribulation. The scene on earth is utter devastation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." These 7 years. Utter devastation. The scene in heaven, bodies discarded here on earth, but the scene in heaven, they're worshiping the Lamb. One of peace, one of comfort, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One of care, that's, where do you want to be? Right there. I want to be with Jesus. You want to be here? Scorpions? Death? Destruction? Famine? Multitudes murdered? No, I want to be there. White robes, faithful witness to the Lamb of God, the testimony of the Lamb. In heaven. What is that? A display of the great power of the Lamb. The Antichrist does not have power over the soul. He does not. Take your head off and take their life. They go right to be with Jesus. And they are comforted. We shared recently, it was April 24th, 1655, 4 a.m. in the morning when the Duke of Savoy chased the Waldenses up into the mountain of northwest Italy. Not just to kill them, but to send a message to everyone in the valley that we are not to be messed with. And what did he do? They chopped off their heads, they impaled them on a pole, and at nighttime, every 10 feet all the way up the mountain, they lit them on fire so that everybody would see the Duke is not somebody to be messed with. Why is the Antichrist doing it? Why in the millions? What are they going to do with the heads? It would not surprise me if they did not do something similar. The Bible does not mention, the Bible does not say, but typically tyrants, Antichrist being the worst, display the heads in a brutal fashion to say, we are not to be trifled with. And the world, we'll get to that, says, where did you want to put that mark again? And the world lines up to take the mark. But those who have trusted Christ will not. Will not. Is it a great multitude, Jew or Gentile? Yes. Will the Jew or Gentiles worship the Lamb? Yes, they both will. Will the Jews or Gentiles be washed? Yes. Yes, both Jew and Gentile will be washed. They will. Those who have trusted Christ. And again, if I'm talking to somebody, I tell them, just not you. Just not you. For time this evening, we'll not go back to 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But it's in every point in my outline. Why? Because that is a point in our soul winning that we need to be familiar with and tell people, will people be saved during the tribulation period? Yes. Just not you. Will Jews be saved during the tribulation period? Yes. Just not you. Will Gentiles be saved during the tribulation period? Yes. Just not you. And knowing the wrath to come, we persuade men to trust Christ. Verse 14, they are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm not much for laundry. Mrs. Bishop helps me out with that. But I know that if I've got blood on my white shirt, that I best let her know before she launders it. Because blood does not come out well after it's been laundered. But this blood is different. What shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Made them white. Impossible. Impossible. In human terms, but not with God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 reminds us that Jesus Christ purchased us with His own blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 reminds us that we are justified by the blood of Jesus. And where are the martyred? They're not just in heaven. They are in heaven before the throne. I jokingly say to people, did you know the pews up front aren't any more expensive than the pews in the back? In church, Baptists, I'll try to go to the back. But here, the place of prominence is before the throne, and they're going to be in that place. Place of rest, a place of service. Revelation 7 tells us that it is a place of worship. I heard Frank say this several years ago. If you don't like to sing and worship the Lord now, you find yourself during the song service when, stand up, take your psalm books, and let's hear it on verse 1. You know, worship the Lord now, you are really going to be out of place here, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lord. You might want to get started here. And then God shall wipe away all tears. Grief and tears past. Beauty, wonder in the presence of God. Fanny Crosby wrote these words in 1894. She was blind, but boy, she could see. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning, she's blind, I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears shall ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. As redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him. I shall know Him. By the print of the nails in His hand. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your salvation. May we be faithful witnesses and not buy into the rhetoric that government is too corrupt, the sacrifice is too great, the gospel message has lost its power, the days of great revival long past. May we be inspired to take the gospel witness to every creature as long as You give us breath, and we'll praise You for those who receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, Your eternal salvation, praising You for all eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. Amen.